Silver. You're tuned in to Malice Cooper. I get those moments. I have Mitch from NIAC Paranormal Investigations on the phone with me right now. How you doing, Mitch?
Good. How are you?
Good. We're live. We're on air.
Excellent.
It's cool, eh?
Yeah, it's very cool.
So what have you, where have you gone recently?
Well, recently, we first of all, I have a very small team. I know that you probably speak to a lot of people, have large groups. I have, my team is comprised of me and my son. And my son's going into his senior year of college, so it's a father-son team of researching. And we go a lot of local places. Our main place that we like to hang out is the Shanley Hotel in upstate New York.
Oh, cool. Was Karen up with her? With you?
I'm sorry.
Was Karen up there recently with you?
Who?
Karen from Afterlife Kentucky.
Oh, I know. Yeah, they're. I saw that they were going to be up there, but I didn't. I didn't meet up with them.
Oh, that's too bad.
I try to shoot up there as often as I can. The owners of the hotel, Sal and Cindy, are wonderful and just great to go up there and hang out with. And you know, sometimes I crash some other events early just to say hello and I get out of there.
Well, Sal's just like, he's like your brother.
Yeah, oh, I call him Uncle Sal.
Yeah, he's family.
Great. We both got roots. We both born in Brooklyn, like in the same neighborhood, several years apart, of course. But
oh, really?
Yeah, they're great people. Great place. I use that. That's my laboratory, as I call it.
So what did you find?
Well, we've had some strange EVPs. From that place. A lot of people have personal experiences over there. It's considered very active. I think the activity usually waits until I fall asleep, so early in the morning before it starts. But we've caught some very interesting EVPs. People have gotten touched and shoved, and mostly in very good-natured spirits in that hotel. And they don't like to get provoked, but they'll prod you back if you prod them.
Really, eh?
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. And we develop some equipment and techniques, and we go up there and we test it up there.
Like what?
What we first started doing, when we first came on the scene, the first thing we tried is 3D photography.
Mm-hmm.
The 3D photography is actually, first of all, it's a lot of fun. It's really cool, and it's a great way to document your investigations and the places that you go. The greatest thing about 3D photography, because it takes two images simultaneously at the same time.
Oh, really?
2 inches apart, 2.5 inches apart. Best thing it does is it rules out orbs. I don't know if we have orb fans listening.
But probably.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of orbs. I think they're all dust and moisture and all that, and the 3D photography rules it out every time.
Oh.
I'll try to explain why without getting too technical or too crazy or too boring. But when you take two pictures at the same time, if you get a piece of dust and it's really close to the lens and it's bright from the flash and it's out of focus, so it's a fuzzy round ball,
mm-hmm.
within a couple inches of the lens. So if you're going to take two pictures at the same time, the orb is going to only show up in one of the cameras and one of the lenses. And even if you view it in 3D, it looks like it's like attached to your eyeball. It's really close to the plane of the camera. If I took a picture one day and I see an orb floating next to the couch about 10 feet away, I'll celebrate that. That would be wonderful.
Wow.
It's all, I have the examples on the website. You can go take a look on NIACParanormal.com.
I'm going to have to go do that again.
Yeah, it's fun too, because you can document your investigations in places that you go. Even if you go to an event and, you know, it's private, not a private investigation, you can take pictures in 3D. When you do it, you can sort of judge depth and distance of things.
Mm-hmm.
How people are away from you, how far the furniture is, how big the room is. It's a pretty neat little tool.
Cool. I never heard of one of those yet. This was the first time.
Been doing it, so.
Oh. So it works. It like completely says, okay, that was a piece of dust.
Yeah, it pretty much, again, when anything that we develop or we try, that sounds like it's to debunk things. Mm-hmm. I don't really like using that word, but to rule it out, it could also help rule things in. So, you know, maybe one day, easy to disprove things because most of the time you have something that's explainable.
Yeah.
Maybe one day it'll help prove something that's unexplainable. So we're hoping.
Well, there's a lot of places that have completely unexplainable stuff going on.
Yeah.
I mean, the Shanley is one, you know. Because Karen said her bed was shaking and that kind of thing, so...
Yeah, yeah. That happens to some people, too, over there. It's a great place. I recommend anybody, if they're ever in the New York area or upstate New York, check out Shanley Hotel in Napanock.
Did you get high EMFs?
The EMF, I actually sat through a very interesting K2 session one time at the Shanley
Hotel.
Oh, really? And I don't use that as a regular instrument on all investigations. You get some EMF readings in the hotel because of maybe electric heaters in the winter, air conditioners, microwave ovens, if somebody's running, because the proprietors have an apartment on the second floor, so if you're up in the third floor above them, you might get some spikes.
Mm-hmm.
You can easily rule those out. But one time in the back room, we were going for about 20 minutes or a half hour getting responses on a K2 meter that I still can't explain to this guy, which is very exciting. And we had multiple K2 meters going off at different times, almost on command. It was.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, there's a lot of potential there. That's why we use it as a laboratory. It's the first place I'll go if we have a new piece of equipment to try out.
How did your batteries and the cameras do?
Batteries and cameras, I haven't had problems with the batteries and cameras. I've seen people get some battery drained. But I think it's an interesting place because the spirits come and go. They claim there's up to 40 spirits that go through the Shanley Hotel.
That many?
Yep, that many. And I don't think any of them are malicious. I think they're all very laid back and they'll communicate when they want to, or they'll just ignore you other times.
So they're mostly residual?
Most people say that most of them are intelligent, that you're getting responses, and that they are, you get the EVPs and you get the personal experiences, and you get touched in the Portello. Men get touched, and upstairs in Joe's room, there's a room with an alpha male, supposedly. You know, you might get cursed at on your EVPs.
Really?
Well, yeah. So it's exciting. You have to check it out.
Wow.
Now, we're going back there. We have a private experiment going on in the beginning of August. I can tell you about our latest adventure in research.
Oh, cool.
We developed a quadraphonic recording setup.
Oh.
Where we set up four microphones in a square grid inside a room, and it's plugged in to a laptop where we record four channels simultaneously. We calibrate the level of the microphones. We do EVP sessions. If we catch an EVP or any sort of sounds in the room, we can use the relative volumes in those four microphones to help locate where in the room that came from.
Wow.
So we've done one experiment so far with some preliminary results that's pretty exciting. And we're going back to the beginning of August to try to do a couple of nights more of the testing with the quadraphonic recording.
That sounds amazing.
All, some information on that is up on the website, too.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, we caught an EVP. We had an investigator standing there, and he was using an infrared thermometer that also shoots like a beam of light, and it changes color when the temperature changes.
Oh, really?
Pretty neat little thing. Yeah, I think Black & Decker makes it. You have to Black & Decker leak detector. You got to look it up. It's a pretty neat device.
Cool.
He was using it, and he got a voice that said, "Put that down," and nobody in the room said it. So we located the voice to within a couple of feet of where he was standing, which would almost imply that the EVP was directed at him verbally, but also physically.
Wow.
Fascinating concept. And that's sort of what we're after with that. That should be fun.
That's pretty cool. I mean, when you think about it.
Yeah.
You put the exact location, pretty much, of where it came from, you could pinpoint.
it's interesting, and if we can locate that, these, you know, if it is a spirit voice and they're getting in your face to tell you off, that's going to be pretty exciting. We also picked up some other sounds in the room during that same session. Footsteps were going on in the room, and we confirmed with our recording the same location where they thought they were hearing it from, which is between two beds. Nobody was standing there, and there was actually footsteps caught on the recording. So it's fascinating. It has a lot of potential, and we can't wait to try it again.
Wow, that's really cool. Because there's no disputing that. And it would probably be on all the recordings, but the loudest of the four would be able to pinpoint exactly how close it was to the device.
Exactly, yep.
Wow.
That's
really cool. I bet you lots of them, like, never even thought of that. It makes complete sense, though.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We're ones to share our data and our results, so
Wow. We
get some good firm results. We'll put it all out there. People can share it, and eventually I hope people will want to build this apparatus and try it themselves, because the more data, the more chance we have of learning about this stuff.
For sure.
And it's got to stay fun. It's got to be fun, too.
Of course.
Of course.
What's the scariest place you've ever investigated?
Well, that's a good question. I haven't really experienced. Yeah, I'm not afraid of anything. At least I don't think I'm afraid of anything that could be a spirit. I'm more afraid of people.
Hmm.
I think one of the creepiest places I've been is Eastern State Penitentiary, although we didn't have any activity really when we went there. It's really a creepy place.
Hmm.
We had, retrospectively thinking, we did a very short investigation at a local burying ground right in my, about a block and a half from my house here in New York. And it was just on a lark. We had my son and a friend of ours, Vincent Barra, who's a internationally known psychic from Palm Springs, California.
Oh, cool.
Was in town, and we decided to check it out, a small burying ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice and quiet, and it was calm, and we had some funny things come up on the camera. He was taking pictures of us, and we didn't think much of it. But when we went home, and the EVP that we caught, to this day, gives me chills. It's so amazingly appropriate for the cemetery, and again, this is on the website. You got to check it out.
Oh, cool.
We were standing. I was standing. If you have, I can tell you briefly what it actually said. We were leaning on a headstone, and the headstone, while we were taking pictures, my son was next to me. He was holding a recorder. First, we caught a hello, which was very nice, and it was a female voice, and there were no women with us.
Cool.
So I thought that was great. I started jumping for joy. I celebrated. I called everybody upstairs to listen to hello. We spent an hour listening to the hello. Little did I know, about 30 seconds later, it was the best EVP we ever caught in our lives.
Wow.
It was a full sentence of a woman with the proper cadence, and what she said was, "Heaven hold them, leave them, leave them, leave them be."
Aww.
Yeah, which that gives me creeps. But then when we did further research, it turns out I was leaning on the headstone of a woman called Charity Smith.
Oh, wow.
In the early 1800s, she's buried next to her husband, Captain Ori Smith, from the Revolutionary War. And on the other side of her are three little headstones of her children.
Aww.
Yeah, it's a little sad. I don't know how old they were when they died. I only have their date of death. I don't have their date of birth. Couldn't find that in the research. But she said, "Heaven hold them, leave them, leave them, leave them be." She said that three times, and there's three headstones. So, looking back, not only was it charming and wonderful and nice, but it was creepy as hell. I mean, I got so creeped out. I get chills every time I think about it.
Well, I had chills as you were talking about it, so
you gotta
we're even.
So it's so wonderful. It's amazing. But that's the one instance or one EVP at least, or just the whole experience that keeps us going. And, you know, there's a lot of drama in the field. There's a lot of people throwing evidence out there that you can look at and say, I mean, that's ridiculous. You can see something that's unexplainable. You say that's wonderful. But when you find something that intense, it keeps you going. It makes you want to try to find something better or find more.
Well, of course.
Yep.
It's the drive.
Oh, yeah. We're still amazed.
That's actually, it's nice, but it's creepy.
Yeah.
What? But I mean, you're standing, you were leaning on her headstone.
Yeah.
Couldn't have been anybody else but her.
It makes too much sense.
Yeah.
That's what makes it even creepier. Now, it's one thing you get an EVP and you're inside a building and says, get out.
Well, yeah.
But it's
still, it doesn't make you feel comfortable being there. I mean, something's telling you to get out. It's like, okay, where's the door? I'm gone. That would be me. Not you guys, though.
No.
See?
No. People call us Ghostbusters. I say, no, we don't want to bust ghosts. We just want to meet them.
Well, meeting them's all fine and dandy. You know, if we could sit there and have tea, I'd be okay. But when they're telling me to get out, I'm sorry. I'm gone. Okay. Something tells me to get out. I'm going. All you're gonna see is my little white butt screaming down the hallway. Bye. You guys want to be here? You go right ahead. I'm out of here. That thing said, "Get out." I heard it. I'm leaving. Seriously, I'm sorry, but if it tells me to get out, I'm gone.
Yeah, I think I'll consider that if I hear that.
Well, just cause. I mean, I've seen The Exorcist, okay? Just because of that movie alone?
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
It's like, I'm out of here, bye. You're not going to be able to hold on to me. You can chain me down in a chair. I'll find a way out if it tells me to get out. Just because. I'd be scared. Boy, oh boy.
I don't know. It's funny you say that. I had my first, my first personal experience of seeing an apparition when I least expected it. That's the only thing I can call it. This is an interesting story, too. I'm doing some volunteer work down in Queens, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And you're all the way up in Canada, but I don't know if anybody will be familiar with this area. But there was a World's Fair in the 1964, 1965 in New York.
Oh, cool.
And there's a leftover building called New York State Pavilion. People have seen it because it's in the new Iron Man movie. It was the towers with the flying saucers and the Men in Black movies.
Oh, cool.
The oval building with these three towers, and
okay.
It's sitting neglected for 45 years, and a small group of fans of the World's Fair got together, including me and some friends, and we're putting a coat of paint on it because it's got some landmark status, and we just want to restore the dignity of the building. It hasn't been painted in 25 years, and it looks terrible, so we want to just make it look nice. So I got there early one day on the day of volunteering, and I went inside because there's some interior rooms within the building. Very difficult to explain the building, so you'll have to bear with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I was inside the rooms, and the rooms are filled with junk and garbage from years and years of accumulation. There's a theater that's connected to this building. It's a thriving theater that does plays and shows. And they've used this for storage and for over the years. There's sets and pieces of sets from 25, 30 years ago. Old equipment. The place is cluttered with, with whatever you can think of. And the raccoons are nuts in there, too, and they're pooping everywhere, and it's
oh, man.
But to us, it's urban exploration, and it's wonderful being there. So I went there early one day, and I was walking out. The door was open to a large courtyard, and there was a lot of light coming in. And as I'm walking through a doorway into the next room, towards the outside of the building, I see somebody scoot away, like three steps, and then I can't see them past the doorway. So I started, and I started chasing. And I couldn't find anybody. There was nobody there. If there was somebody there, I would find them, because there's really no way out.
Right.
And it looked like blue pants, and I had all this explanation. Then it dawned on me after, because I chased it. I didn't know what it was, but it dawned on me after. What if it was a human being? I'm definitely afraid of finding a human being alone in the dark.
Exactly.
To a spirit. So I thought I was nuts for a second, but I claim that as my first experience with an apparition. And some people tell me it was my father trying to get involved with my project down there because it looked like the type of fake jeans that he used to wear.
Huh.
So I don't know. We're going to go back there and actually do an investigation when we have a chance.
Well, it sounds like a cool thing to do. I mean, considering you did see something.
or something. I don't think it was one of those raccoons. They don't wear jeans.
Yeah, they're not that tall either.
No, they're not.
So
we reenacted what I saw. Also, I had a friend, and she went to where I saw it, and she was the right size, and because there's a stack of chairs, and I was able to relate what I saw, and it seemed like there's somebody that was like 5'9". And then I took as many steps and went out of view, and it matched the number of steps. So we tried to reconstruct everything, and it all made sense. So I'm going to stick with it that I think I saw my first apparition, which is pretty exciting.
You know what's too bad? It's too bad our eyes can't capture what we see. You know what I mean?
Yep, you're right.
Because the camera doesn't necessarily catch what we see.
Nope.
That's the whole thing. It's like next to impossible to get visual evidence. Because you might have seen it with your own eyes, but that doesn't mean the camera, or video camera for that matter, can see what our eyes can see. I mean, I don't know whether we're seeing dimensions, whether that's, you know what I mean? Because it doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you can see it with your eye, you expect the video camera or a photograph to pick it up. But it doesn't always happen.
Nope. Part of that is the delay. I know there are people starting to wear cameras on their heads, you know, like a helmet or something. So
right.
Wherever they're looking, they catch a picture. But our eyes are an amazing tool. And when we turn, our eyes move so fast and catch something. And as our heads turn, our eyes adjust and follow these things. The camera doesn't do that.
Right.
When you turn your head fast, you can get a blur. Meanwhile, yeah. Your eyes have locked onto that, and you get a nice, sharp image.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get it with that video camera, especially these things happen so quick.
That's true, too.
I'd love for an apparition to walk up to me and say hello and stand there for a few minutes while I take pictures. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. To which case, 98% of the time, they're going, bye. I mean, they're gone before they even say bye, you know.
Well, they may look at us and get scared and run away.
Well, it's literally a blink of an eye, right?
Yep.
From what I've seen myself, it's a blink of an eye.
And what have you seen? Have you seen...
Well... What? I had this boyfriend back in the 80s days, and his house had what I believe to be a 16-year-old girl's spirit. She had a crush on him, and she would take all my stuff. She was wearing a perfume that would go all the way around me at times, but I wasn't wearing any. Tried to check and see, you know, was it the fan blowing it in, all kinds of things like that. No explanation, right? I wasn't losing my stuff all over the house. It was being taken, literally taken, out of my purse and being put around the house. And then, just before the end of the relationship, it rained rocks on me in that house.
Wow.
It literally rained rocks. That was it. I was out of there. That was the last day I ever went there. It was like, okay, you know what? This is it. Bye. You know? I mean, I know there's hair pulling and those. I'd try to blow a smoke ring. It would blow back in my face. No wind.
Right.
You know? There's some stuff you can explain, and then there's stuff you can't. And the orb that I saw in the upstairs bedroom, which I believe to be hers, you know, I saw this with my own eyes, didn't have a camera, wasn't an investigator, I was just a kid, you know, and it was like floating in midair. I went to the window to see if it was a car light or the street light, some explanation. Don't ask me how I knew. Like how to do it, but I wanted to know, was I seeing what I see, you know, what I see?
Right.
I want to I wanted to make sure I was seeing what I was seeing. It was just this beautiful colored round circle light in the middle of the room, just floating. And that's what I saw. And it was there for a good 2-3 minutes at least. And that's a long time.
It is a long time.
Like, had I had a camera, I would have got that, you know?
Had you had a 3D camera, even.
Oh, anything. If I would have had anything, I would have probably been able to record it.
Yep.
But I always knew it didn't want me there. You know?
Yep.
And it was always pulling my hair, you know, pinching me, things like that, the whole time. It wasn't a long time, probably maybe 6 months of time in total. But I had to get out of there, because it had it in for me.
Yeah, it gets unnerving. I mean, I don't know if they would have enough energy to actually hurt you, but it's definitely not comfortable.
Well, knowing full well that I was the only one being affected by anything, not his mom, not his dad, not his sister, you know, he'd have the odd thing happen, but he brushed it off, right?
Yep.
Just like everybody else would just brush it off, you know? You don't want to think spirits. You don't want to think ghosts, you know?
No, you want to make sense of it first.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I tried my hardest to make sense out of it all. And there was no sense. And when it rained rocks on me, okay. I have no explanation for that. There was no holes in the ceilings. There's no reason why rocks should have fell from the ceiling. Like, no reason.
Yep, that's amazing. You didn't save any of those rocks, did you?
No, I kind of pretty much got out of there because it hurt.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, okay, bye, gotta go.
You know, I would run from the rocks more than just something saying get out. You know, if somebody said get out, I might stop and argue with them a little bit, but if they started throwing things at me, I think I would move.
Well, it was just the amount, and it didn't look like, I mean, you can't look up totally. Like, I looked up when I was outside the door, and it had stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as soon as I was out the door, it stopped. There was still a couple, like, falling, but I looked at the ceiling then, and there was no holes in it.
Right.
You know, so, like, how did they get there? From where?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yep.
To this day, I can't figure it out, and I'm too scared to go back.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd take a team there. I don't know who lives there now. I'd take a team to that house, but I'm not going in.
Right.
You know? I'd point it out, but no. I think it would be too dangerous for me to go back in. I mean, that, having that kind of power, it could have done anything to me. You know?
Yeah, that's right. Well, there's a lot of I've heard theories where they really can't directly do harm to you. They can't, like choke you and kill you.
Well, exactly.
Why? That's why they throw things at you and give you a little push or a scratch. I mean, that's about as much energy as they can muster to do something to you. But I don't know. You know, this is what I hear. I have no idea.
Well, I could take you there. I don't know if the new owners would allow it, but, or if they even know, you know.
It could be quiet for them.
Exactly.
For activity, yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line with the paranormal. Just because it happens to one family doesn't mean, it could have been attached to the family for all I know. You know,
right, yep.
It didn't necessarily have to be to that house either.
No. Right.
So, I mean, there's so many variables. There's no way to know.
No way to know. And that's one thing that we try to do with our research, and you mentioned variables. There are a lot of teams out there claim that they're taking a scientific approach, and you can apply certain scientific techniques to this, but nothing paranormal is really a science, and there's way too many variables to be able to control to be able to consistently reproduce results.
Exactly.
But what we try to do is we try to, in our experiments at least, we try to put as much control into it as possible. That's why we have four microphones, because we want to be able to record and locate things. We have we developed this dowsing rod rig. You know, people are starting to use these dowsing rods for spirit communication. So they'll hold their metal rods, and if they'll ask questions, and if they cross, they think it's a response, and if they explain, it's a different response, and all that stuff. And to me, you know, it's fun. I mean, it's entertainment, but in a real investigation, if somebody can manipulate something, you can't use it.
Well, in the same respect, there could be water under the ground.
Exactly. Water or limestone or other forms of energy that if
precisely
you pick it up, yeah, it's going to react. So I did develop the dowsing rod rig that takes these aluminum handles and locks them parallel to each other in a frame with a bubble level and a tripod mount. Then you put the rods, whatever metal you like. I mostly use copper for these. I don't really use them. I have other people using.
Mm-hmm.
You can't independently manipulate the rods. You can't manipulate them individually. If you're going to tilt the whole apparatus, they're both going to swing one way or another. But you can still hold on to it. So if you're channeling energy, you should still be able to make the rods still should be able to move. But you have this control now. You've taken out the human contamination aspect of it.
Hmm.
And there's, I have some people out there using it. There's one person that, and it's, again, it's not just to debunk the use of it, but what I feel is if people are truly channeling energy through these rods, they're using these rods as an
energy. Yeah, but the energy could also be like electromagnetic field from wiring.
Exactly, and it could be, and that's why you might use
other. So you would have to have the EMF in your hand.
Right.
Testing that. Or on the spot where you're at, as close to the apparatus as possible,
right,
while you're holding it.
Yep, and we use RF detectors too, so if you get an EMF hit, but it's really a walkie-talkie or a cell phone, you use a radio frequency detector, that'll go off also. And we use that now every time the K2 meter sees the light of day, we bring out the RF detector too. Those two should not be separated anytime ever. I highly recommend that if anybody's out there listening, that an investigator find an RF, a radio frequency detector, and use that right next to your K2 meter every single time.
Wow.
We'll rule out the radio frequencies that give you the hits on the K2.
Cool. Thanks very much.
K2 meter is only picking up EMF. It might not be a spirit, but at least it rules out the radio frequencies that often contaminate the K2 session.
Right.
Yeah, we've had to pull through a couple times. But just quickly getting back to dowsing rods, I've given a couple to some dowsers, and what I feel is if they're using this as an indicator and they're channeling their energy through it, and they can learn what that feels like without the indicators. In other words, it's like they don't need to manipulate the rods to really learn what the feeling is. So if they truly believe what they're feeling, they can get in touch with their feelings a little better if these rods aren't moving, but they really think they need to be. If they feel an energy coming through, they're sure the rods should be crossing or splaying, but my rig prevents it from doing that. They can pick up on their own feelings a little bit, possibly train themselves not to have to use the rods.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's a training tool, it's a debunker, and it can also prove also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a simple little tool. You have some information on the website.
Well, it makes perfect sense.
Control. It takes out the variables that you got before.
Yeah, they're not controlling it, so.
Exactly.
That's perfect. Thanks for coming up with that.
No, you're welcome. It was fun. We like to challenge current theories, test current theories. We may have a lot of equipment, but we don't necessarily believe that all the equipment is useful. But we'll have it so we can test it, because everybody else is using it. You know,
cool.
We want to learn about it. And if we can take it a step further, like I said with the K2 meter, everybody's using it. Some people, it's falling out of favor a little bit with some people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you run it alongside an RF detector, 50% of your false positives are ruled out at that point. That makes
true.
It a little bit more valuable in the tool. So it's worth a try.
Cool.
And we're developing some other theories and some other techniques. Some of it's on the website.
Oh, that's awesome.
We've also made with Shannon Sylvia. I collaborate with Shannon on a few pieces of equipment. And we made a Ouija board planchette that also offers some control.
Oh, wow.
And it's called the iWay. And it's on the website. And it's basically a planchette with a built-in scale to measure the pressure of your fingers.
So oh, really?
Let's say you have two or three people with your fingers on the planchette, and mm-hmm. you sort of establish a baseline of 100 grams. You try to keep it at 100 grams. If somebody tries to push it, it's going to shoot up.
Well, there you have it.
You can sort of detect if somebody's trying to manipulate it, because, you know, sometimes there's the ideomotor type of reaction. Somebody doesn't realize that.
Well, I know when I was a little kid and I tried one of them Ouija boards, none of us were moving it. And that thing ate or took a whole jar of jelly beans. And we couldn't get the lid off the jar when we came back downstairs. So... And, like, we were all little kids, you know, to put it on that jar as hard as it was. Like, none of us could open it, you know.
Yep.
It'd be a different story if one of us was so big that we could have tightened it that much. But I think her dad, yep. to get the lid off, had to actually break the jar.
Wow, amazing.
You know, like, it didn't, he used, I think, you know those big things for the drain? The wrench?
Yeah, right.
He tried to use one of those, and it wouldn't come, it wouldn't go. Like, put it in under hot water, all that stuff, tried all of that, couldn't get it off. The jar actually broke before we could get that lid off. So, that stuff's nothing to mess with.
Yeah.
Scares the hell out of me. Honest.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, again, we need this thing to put that little extra level of control over it so you know whether it's working or not. So that's going to help. You know, people have to get any of these things, any of these... I mean, you don't necessarily have to have a Ouija board to communicate with spirits. People tend to, I think, look at the Ouija board with a little bit of...
Skepticism.
Skepticism, or if you go into it believing it, a little bit of devil type stuff. You know what I mean? They go into
mm-hmm.
it, you know, there's a little bit of evil to it.
And well, it...
want to play on the edge.
It can be a gateway, though.
Yep.
You know, that's the thing about it. There's too much we don't know about it. Like, yeah, it's a piece of cardboard, and it's got a plastic thing on it, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't work.
Right.
You know, I don't know why it does work. It makes no sense, really, why it would work. I mean, it's not magical in what it's made of.
Right. Yep.
So, to have an explanation as to why, there really isn't one. I mean, if nobody's moving that piece, what's moving that piece? You know?
Yeah. Well, we take that scientific approach, as people say. And in science, you have to have answers. What fascinates us is the stuff that we come up, that we find that's unexplainable. It's
wow.
almost incomprehensible for somebody in the sciences to have something that's unexplainable. It's just, it's like an oxymoron.
Well, they're probably looking at that board going, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Well, because.
Yeah.
I mean, if nobody's moving it, and it's, like, showing you nobody's moving it, you can't, they can't say anything.
Right.
I mean, they're the ones literally sitting there with their pants down.
Yeah.
on that one.
One of Shannon's first experiences with the prototype that I made for her was she brought it to one of the conventions. I think it was a convention down south in the United States. And she had a group of skeptics actually trying it. And they were thinking that it was working, that it was actually moving without them putting the pressure on it. And it helps convince them a little bit more that something was going on because they had that control in watching this
guy
when they go around the board a little bit. And it was making them really question their beliefs or their anti-beliefs about any of this stuff. So it's pretty fascinating.
Well, that's really cool. Do you want to put out your websites? I just realized we went kind of over.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's my fault. I just let us keep talking, that's all.
Yeah, we're having fun. This is fun. Remember, it's got to be fun.
Of course.
Stop doing it. So my website is nyakparanormal.com, N-Y-A-C-K, paranormal.com, and it's got all the information. It's not a huge website, but it's got all the information up there, and the MySpace page, or Facebook page link, and information, my first research abstract on the quadraphonic recording. Some other, all of the evidence from the few investigations that we have up there are from Shanley Hotel, definitely the burying ground, which has got that fascinating EVP that we love, and a couple of EVPs from Fort Mifflin in Philadelphia. Some nice
cool
links at the bottom. I'll have to put your link up there when I get a chance. And, you know, I hope people visit it and you know, learn a little bit about what we do. We're really trying to make a difference in the research of the paranormal.
Very cool. Thanks a lot, Mitch.
You're welcome.
Take care of yourself. We'll do this again.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you very much for having me on. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Well, thanks. Bye. Take care.
Catch you again soon.
Okay.
Right, bye.
Bye-bye. That was awesome. I could have talked to him all day. I always say that, don't I? Shame on me. No, really, shame on me. Because I always say it. I don't mean to. It just comes out. Just like everything else. Poop included. Anyways, up next, White Zombie. More human than human.